Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It is Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Hope you're doing all right. Gorgeous day. What a day to spend at practice, especially when you're not running or having to fight off 300-pounders on the football field. Great to be with you. We'll run down some Husker flavor today. He is a Hall of Famer, and he's a 10-year NFL vet. He's in Omaha, which is 60 miles away, meaning I won't get that steak and beer he owes me for the Super Bowl. I may or may not bring it up to be a chump. Ralph Brown will be with us in 15 minutes. Get his thoughts on Nebraska football, some NFL news and notes, and Ralph played 10 years. Get his take on some training camp thoughts. When it comes to the National Football League. So Ralph will be with us in an hour. Michigan football. I know Nebraska does not play Michigan in the regular season. Both programs hope to meet in Indianapolis. How big a whack job is Harbaugh? It's a fair question. He's a great football coach. Jim Brandstatter, voice of the Wolverines and Detroit Lions, going to be with us in an hour. Jim has been an All-American and on the offensive line back in the 70s under Schembechler. And, you know, when the Big Ten decides to schedule Nebraska-Michigan, Jim's always good about coming on that week. But it's been 5 years since Nebraska and Michigan have hooked up. So Jim Brandstatter talks some Wolverines, get his take on Nebraska. And then also in hour two, standout offensive lineman for Nebraska, and personality that you like hearing from Matt Verzel, going to be with us. Verz will join us at 525. You're welcome to check in 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House lets you do that. And find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmidt underscore radio. Can email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com. So that's kind of the lineup for today. We'll get you qualified. Here's the goodies. Here's the bribery portion of the show. Ribfest tickets before we're done. And Salt Dog VIP tickets before we're done. What else? Oh, yes, the six-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. That is also up for grabs. Okay, the Honda fan poll question for Hail Varsity. Which defensive position group do you have the most confidence in at the start of camp? That's been ongoing. We'll ask Ralph Brown that. And good news and notes today. And the offense got to speak to members of the media, and that will be covered shortly. You'll have a lot of thoughts from Keith Williams. Coach Dub is awesome to listen to. He's really, really smart, not just with football, but with the wideouts. And also Danny Langsdorf shared some thoughts on where his team is at, one of which is his offense and the reason that Langsdorf and the offense, quite honestly, right now feel and seem like it's okay, like they're further along than they have been in the previous 2 years. Now, the reason he can say that is because he's got what he's comfortable and used to having. That's a pro-style pocket quarterback. But that doesn't dismiss the fact he feels like they're further along. That's a good thing, and Langsdorf is happy about it. The top 25 came out. That's where I want to start. The coaches poll has Nebraska coming in. If you were to do the counting past 25, the others to receive votes section, Nebraska in 37. How's that grab you? You're numb to it right now. You are. It's your fourth shot of vodka, and now it's Barton's, all right? You just don't care at this point. You've been watching Nebraska football. You're hoping for a breakthrough season with Nebraska football, and it can happen. But right now, listen, when's the last time they've been ranked in the preseason top 25? End part of that poll, lower 20s, maybe 2012, the year they went out and lost to UCLA, like week two. They haven't been ranked in the top 25 since Riley got here. Don't think they were in the top 25 Bows last year. I think you got to say 2013. 2012, 2013. So it's been 5 years. Man, that's a long time. So I got to ask you here with Nebraska football and the top 25. It kind of matters still to you as a Nebraska fan. All you got to do is finish top five or six in the country. And you can make an argument based of coming out of the Big Ten to be in the college football playoff. That's the new thing. It's tremendous. It's a lot of fun. But pole position, extremely important pre-BCS, pre-playoff. So now it's not so much, but it is a vanity thing to discuss here. So I got to ask you here, is this the last year for a while you think Nebraska will be left out of a top 25, meaning they have a pretty good year this year, 9 or 10 wins, they finish ranked, and next year with what's loaded up on offense and defense, that maybe Nebraska could be one of those teams that is considered worthy of being ranked, and if you're ranked, that means out of the 65 Power 5 schools, that, all right, you're upper fourth. You're better than half. So I can kind of say, look, I think year three is going to be fun. I think Nebraska can surprise some people. But I can say maybe that's not a definite answer. Maybe Nebraska is, this is the last time they're left out of the party. Maybe they start in top 25s. From here on out based on this team this season. And why? Why do I think Nebraska may be ending their top 25 drought starting next year when it comes to preseason polls, preseason prognostication? And I got some points here. I got three things. Focus. This team seems pretty locked in, pretty focused, be it Tyjon Lindsey as a freshman, be it Tanner Lee as a transfer, be it Josh Kalu as a senior, changing positions. This team's smiling and confident, but they're focused. They're locked in. Other point here, culture. Kind of goes with focus, but you've heard Riley talk about it. You heard him mention it a couple of times on Sunday. And I, you know, and guys, some of the players were talking about just the locker room today after practice. And it's pretty open. I mean, there are guys with their ears on to hear if someone has something to say. Complaint, suggestion, vent, whatever. Now, we don't have a bug in the locker room. But it doesn't matter if you're a freshman or a senior. Guys are pretty open to communication. And Foster was pretty adamant about that. That's different. It's a different culture, and the Riley regime kind of more permeating that locker room. So you don't have to be a senior or a junior to pipe up on something. That's the vibe. So culture. The other part of the culture is the off-season buy-in, the scheme buy-in that we've kind of covered. But you've seen examples. One, Tyjon Lindsey, and we'll hear this from Coach Dub here in a little bit, was adamant about getting the playbook, being in shape, coming in. Guy Thomas comes in 30 pounds heavier than signing day. Just a couple of examples. Lamar Jackson's look in the mirror manifesto from 2 days ago. So those are three examples of three young guys or three players that it's different. Time is now. There's urgency. They want to take advantage. You got talent, focus, culture, and then that talent is pretty well represented when you got a guy like Tyjon Lindsey. Keith Williams, speaking of talent, spent a lot of time on Stan Morgan. He's kind of the story of today's post-practice because Stanley Morgan met the media. Stanley Morgan kind of said, you know, you live and you learn, you move on from possession and dealing with that Florida incident with marijuana. And he's been pretty open about it with his teammates about just don't do as I say, not as I do. That type of mentality back to culture. And here is Coach Dub, cut 16 here. Stan can be one of those difference makers in games of substance that when folks watch Nebraska play this year and in future years, and when coaches vote on whether or not to put Nebraska in the top 25, you know, snapshots of plays against Ohio State, snapshots of plays against Wisconsin will change the, well, they're not quite top 25 worthy to turning around and winning one of those big games. I mean, you were right there. How do you remember the Wisconsin game? There's 1,000 points of light with that, but I remember the missed extra point. I remember Westy getting destroyed between the hashes. And I remember instead of getting a first down, let's throw the ball up to Stan. And Stan in the end zone had a chance at a 50-50 ball. Malik Hooker probably tried to twist and jerk Stan's arm. There is no flag. Malik Hooker's awesome. But he shut down the 50-50 opportunity against Stan Morgan in Ohio State. Stan touched on that. Cut 16. Stanley Morgan, one of these players that can make Nebraska, again, a resident in the preseason top 25. Here's Coach Dub.
Well, it's all maturation to some degree. He's not the same Stan as he was last year. He's grown. He's gotten better. His understanding of the game is better. So that has a lot to do with it. And then his expectation level. You know, and the experience of not making that play. It's like in life, you know, you learn from experience, bad or good. And so I believe that those experiences from last year, not making those plays, will inspire him. And, I know it will motivate him to make that play when it comes again.
This team's got an edge, more of an edge to them. Schmidt, it's practice 5. No one's made anyone bleed yet. I know. But it just feels and looks different. We can go back to last August 3rd, and Schmidt's probably saying the same thing. I'm probably saying, you know, a different feel this year. Oh, it's going to be – listen, call me a sucker for a continuing storyline, much like the top 25 being released, the coaches poll. This could be the last year Nebraska is left out of that party. Why? Talent. Stanley Morgan, obviously. You have culture, and of course, that culture is so good. And then the focus these guys have. More from Coach Dub here, and he got pretty specific with Stan Morgan, with Stanley's traits. Cut 17 here. What makes Stan so good? What makes him one of the reasons that if Nebraska's going to be good, he's got to be good?
Well, he's strong, and he's not afraid, and he can catch. And he's tough, and now our strength staff has done a good job. He's quicker, he's stronger, and I want to say he might be a little faster. I don't quote me on that one yet though. But he's a tough player. I mean, he's a tough player, and he can catch.
That's good. I mean, he's getting the ball chucked at him. He can catch, but there's a lot of hope, a lot of hype, and belief in Stan Morgan. Cut 8 here to wrap up Stan Morgan and Coach Dub. Some of the expectations, because you've got a guy that has played at a high level at Nebraska since his freshman year. Good year as a sophomore. Was the kind of the go-to last year. He had plenty of options, but Stan made a lot of big plays last year. Now he's just going to be a junior. And here are some of those expectations from Coach Dub.
I do expect him to be a leader. He expects that of himself. He was a leader in high school. So, you know, I knew him in high school at St. Aug, and he was a leader there. when it was his turn. He's a guy who likes, you know, he was raised to wait until it's time, and now it is time. You know, he's been around some good players in our room since he's been in Nebraska, and he's watched them work and watched their approach to practice every day, and he knows that's the way he needs to be, and he's accepted that, and I expect that from him.
Again, back to culture, the older guys paying it forward to the younger guys, and also guys realizing it's their time to step up. Well, those are some ideas as to why Nebraska can maybe, from this point on, spend time in the top 25 to start the season, make that impression. It kind of comes back to the culture seeping in and their focus the offseason. Ralph Brown's 5 minutes away. Sauter Heyman, I don't know where you're located, but there's a Sauter Heyman location for you here in Lincoln, around West End, Grand Island, to go see Rick and your friends. Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds grown in the lab instead of mined from the earth. What's that mean? That means you save some money. That means it's eco-friendly, 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. And they are some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Go see Rick. See your friends at Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln, out west, Grand Island. Log on, SauterHeyman.com. Double Deuce, Hall of Famer, black shirt, 10-year NFL vet, Ralph Brown is next.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. As we welcome in Hall of Famer and part of the national championship run at Nebraska, 10-year NFL vet, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter, and he's in the state of Nebraska being honored as part of the Hall of Fame, the Black Sports Hall of Fame in Omaha. Ralph Brown with us. Ralph, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well, man. Camp is here. You feeling the itch?
Yeah, I'm excited. I get excited every year, just like I did when I played the game.
Well, let's start off with your in-state and tell us about the ceremony today before we get into some camp.
Well, it starts at 6 o'clock tonight. I'm really excited. I get to be amongst some of the greats, with John C. Johnson, the basketball player, and Kerry Collins, the track and field athlete. And it's just been an honor, and I'm just so humbled by a second honor of going into a Hall of Fame.
Well, deserved, man. Good for you, and congrats. Ralph Brown's with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Ralph, want to start off with the secondary, and I think Tuesday was the day that Diaco and the defense met the media, and you know, it's practice five of the fall camp, and no two-a-days anymore. But wanted to get your thoughts here and kind of react to Lamar Jackson. And Lamar spent a lot of time in front of the media just kind of being real, and was real and honest about his performance, how frustrated and disgusted he was at putting bad film out there. And then also just how he got kind of down and dejected, and maybe he wasn't going full bore. Is that pretty common for freshmen to react like that? And then how common is it to be able to own it in just a short turnaround time like Lamar is a year later?
Well, first of all, I think that's really big of him to be able to own it in front of the press and let people know actually what was going on in his head, feeling dejected, being down, letting the game look and feel too big for him during the season last year. And I think that's honesty. And when you can be honest with yourself, there's a lot of potential for growth. He was highly touted coming into Nebraska, so a lot of people expected some high things for him. But sometimes you never know how people are going to react when they go through that threshold to the next stage, which is college, which is the NFL, and sometimes high school. You never know what guys are going to do. And he didn't have a great year last year, but if he can focus, you know, get some help from his teammates. Diaco's a great coach. He knows how to teach and have a great season this year, which I expect. I think he should be able to rebound.
Yeah, and the other side's Eric Lee, and he's got a chance at it. And we've kind of gone over your story and just how good you were early, and how there was not any drop-off but ascension with your skill set and what you did for Nebraska at corner. But these guys now are sophomores, and you have Eric Lee's redshirted, and Lamar's a true sophomore. And what's a realistic jump for these guys? Lamar's seen a little bit of time. Eric will have to step in because of Jones's injury. What's realistic this year for them?
Just playing sound, playing within the system, know what your abilities are, know what you can and can't do, and focus on your strengths and what your weaknesses are within the defense. Make sure that you try to lift and raise those. When I had weaknesses, I tried to work on those, put the hours and habits into whatever my weaknesses were so they can balance and catch up to my strengths. The one thing that you cannot do as a cornerback is let doubt seep into your head throughout the course of a game. And you look at Lamar Jackson, that's probably what happened to him last season, and some of these other cornerbacks throughout the years. It's happened to me at times as well. So you have to have that extreme confidence. You have to be able to flush and things down your memory and have a bad memory and have just extreme confidence. And when I played, anybody that made a catch on me, I looked at it as lucky. So that's the way I kind of kept my confidence up throughout the course of the season when I played at Nebraska. These guys, they need their confidence because playing in the Big Ten, the talent's much bigger. So best conference in all of college football, people are saying. So you're going to deal with some really good offenses, some really highly touted wide receivers that can stretch the field, that you know can catch and run and make hay out in open space. So these guys have to have great confidence, and Yakko and the supporting cast have to help these guys out as well.
Dante Williams was kind of staring through some of us who asked about confidence. That'd be me. I'm raising my hand. And he's like, you know, You got to have it, and I'm not going to like feed it to you. And if you don't, you're out of here. Pretty much was the synopsis of it. Ralph, get a little bit personal here. When did you lose confidence, and how long till you regained it? Do you remember at Nebraska?
Well, I've never really lost it at Nebraska. It was sometimes in the NFL when the caliber of athletes were just really good, and the system, the quarterback, the accuracy of throws in the NFL level was, you know, hard at times, because when they see a little bit of weakness, they see blood in the water, they smell blood, they go at you. But in Nebraska, my confidence was always sky high. And you have to depend on yourself and depend on your teammates, because sometimes when you make a mistake on the field, one of your teammates, your coach, say, hey, look, put that behind you. You're great. That's not the cornerback we're used to seeing. You make a lot of plays, and that feels good, so you can go back out there on the field and know your teammates trust you after you make a mistake. I think that's critical, and those corners are going to need that. Lee and Jackson are going to need that throughout the course of the season.
What's your thoughts on Chris Jones? Do you think he can get back before the season's done?
I would hope so, but if I'm Chris Jones, I try to just see if I can come back next year, be highly touted, and go through a whole season healthy from day one, and then see if you can go, you know, in the top two rounds of next season and be hungrier. If he tries to rush back, you know, there's a long process. He's going to drop possibly in the draft, and it might be tough for him. It might be tough for his ego. And, you know, but you never know. He's going to make that decision on what he wants to do, try to come back, play a few games, and then go off and try to head into the NFL if that's the case. But I think he can do it. He's a guy that's strong-willed. He's an intrepid player, and he's hungry. So if he wants to come back, I think he'll be able to do it and have a couple sound games or a few sound games if he can get those in.
Ralph Brown with us, Hail Varsity Radio. He is in Omaha, Black Sports Hall of Fame banquet tonight. The second Hall of Fame, Ralph Brown, is in. He's also in the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. Ralph, I wanted to get your thoughts here as we kind of talk two more seconds on defense. Kalu, do you like him at safety?
I think that was the best decision for, you know, with what they have with talent on the defense to put him back there. He's a tremendous tackler in open space. He doesn't miss. He's natural. He's a smart guy on the back end, and that's what Nebraska needs. And I really like him, but when you have somebody go down at the cornerback spot, you know, sometimes I think, hey, look, move him down for some of the games at the cornerback spot. You know what you're going to get from him. Both Williams guys can be back there at safety, and then kind of rotate that bunch around throughout the course of the season and then see what happens. But I think he's a good safety. He's a great tackler, and at the safety spot, you need a guy who's a great tackler and who's smart, and that's what Kalu embodies.
You know, Ralph, a thought here on the NFL now as we switch gears. And you played for Arizona, went to a Super Bowl with them, the Giants, also with Cleveland and Minnesota. Camps are just kind of underway in the NFL, but of your former teams, which team do you think has the best 2017?
Oh, wow. The Vikings are going to be pretty good. The Giants are going to be pretty good. The Cardinals, too. That's a good question. If I have to pick, I'll say Giants. I'll say Giants out of all my former teams. I like their wide receiving core. I like what they have at, you know, Eli Manning, and that defense is pretty good. They're at New York, so I would have to go with the Giants. I think they possibly can get through the NFC East. With the teams they have there and get into the playoffs this year.
You know, Minnesota is Teddy's back. Their O-line's good. I know they lost some folks, but their O-line should be okay. Their defense has been incredible. Dalvin Cook, man, is something special. Do you think he could be extremely effective from game one, or do you think it'll be kind of a gradual process for him?
I think he's one of those backs that comes into the NFL, and his skill sets can carry over to the NFL from day one. He's that type of running back. He's shifty. He's a guy that has soft hands, and a lot of people touted him and looked at him as one of the top running backs, or maybe the best running back. So I think he'll play right away. He and Murray in the backfield, you got a good offensive line. You can lean on that defense. Mostly everybody's back from the Vikings defense, and you saw what they did last year. So it should be a great season, and they have a sound team. If they can carry over what they did in the early makings of last year, I mean, they could possibly, if everything goes right, win the NFC North, but it'll be tough, you know, going up against Green Bay.
Ralph Brown's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, it's Tom Brady's 40th today. Would you, if you knew him better, maybe you do, I don't know, I'm just shooting into the dark here, would you get him a gift? And if so, what would it be?
I would get him an energy chamber or something that could keep him playing, because I want him to play until he's 50 years old. He's saying he wants to play until he's 43 years old. I want to see somebody play in the NFL at 46, 47 and have a productive season. I'm rooting for the guy. I like the way his career in his late 30s has basically developed, and the records and things he set. So I would just give him some extra time and take father time off of him and see if he could play close to 45 years old.
Could you still get out there? You're what, 37, 38?
I'm 38.
Yeah, yeah. Could you get out there? You look like you're in great shape.
No way. Look, I just hit the weights. I look like I could still play, but no way. I train a couple guys in the off season here and there, a few cornerbacks. The way these guys can run at 21, 22 years old, I'm not even close. The reaction, the way they jump, man, I remember those days, and I'm not even close to these guys.
Ralph, you can give them some cushion. I mean,
I probably could do a couple reps that cover two, a little zone drop, a little reroute, a little drop into the zones, come up, make a tackle or something like that. But you probably get one or two plays out of me in cover two.
That's all right. Lastly, about 60 seconds, the throwback jerseys for the Wisconsin game. You got to love them, don't you?
No, I love that. I think that's great that they're doing that for that game. There's going to be a lot of excitement and just a lot of nostalgia from the 90s and what happened during that time period. So I like the fact that they did that, and I'll be looking forward to watching the Huskers that day.
Well, that'll be awesome. Ralph, we'll catch up soon, my man. Congrats to you on the Black Sports Hall of Fame in Omaha. Enjoy the banquet tonight. Take care, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, thank you very much. Lots of fun, my friend.
Take care. There he is, Ralph Brown, Double Deuce, Husker Hall of Famer, Black Sports Hall of Famer in Omaha, and 10-year NFL vet. Ralph's too modest. He says, what, two plays is what you could get out of me? I don't buy that. He looks, Ralph's 38. He looks maybe 30. And he's still put together. I mean, the guy still works out, like he said, but I don't know. He's being pretty honest. He's pretty humble with the belief that, yeah, I can't break on the football like I used to. So we'll get into the Gronk diet in about an hour. Tom, throw me the ball. I will, Gronk, but you got to start doing this avocado ice cream stuff. We'll talk a little bit about marijuana. Keith Williams asked about it. Stanley Morgan addressed it. And you'll hear from Coach Williams shortly. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Can check in with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, @HailVarsity. Thanks to Ralph Brown. Thoughts on Lamar Jackson, on Josh Kalu, on Chris Jones. some NFL thoughts in there, and Ralph says he, despite looking like he can, he doesn't believe he can get out there, and he's anxious to see Brady push it to 50, not 40, not just 40 or 43 when it comes to continuous play. Jim Brandstatter is 20 minutes away. He is the voice of Michigan and Detroit Lions football. Get his thoughts on Harbaugh, on Michigan, on Amir in a little bit. Matt Verzel, former offensive lineman for Nebraska, and media personality Verzel, join us. Get his thoughts on the O-line, on Kavanaugh's comments today. That's exciting. Stanley Morgan Jr., the discussion point, one of many. Tyjon Lindsey, very pumped up, not only by his position coach, but his offensive coordinator. You'll hear from Langsdorf and Coach Dubb shortly. Okay, so let's talk about marijuana for a second, and it centers around off-field incidents that Nebraska ran into this spring and summer, just the one incident, and two, actually. Now you have a question asked to Coach Williams here. Coach Dubb, on marijuana, is it tough to keep guys away from it? Because I'll tell you this, I heard this story this week, and it's a Alabama recruiting Nick Saban story. I believe who told it to me. Absolutely. Used to be down there. This isn't a guy that was on staff, but it was a guy who worked with a couple of folks that were on more of the booster side of things. So Saban's out recruiting, goes to a kid's house down in the South, and mom and dad are sitting in the living room, and I don't know if they pull out Damien the ass kicker, the 17-foot bong, but they lit up in front of Saban while he was in the living room. And how do you deal with it? We've touched on this a while back. Jay Moore spent some time talking about it as well, just the prevalence of guys who smoke in the league or in college. And it's crazy in college. Guys smoke in college. They do. And it's way more prevalent. And you're coming from states where it's legal. And I'm not getting on the soapbox of it's evil or it's okay. I don't care. I don't want to have that discussion. I'm just talking about what the NCAA is going to do to you. They have dialed back suspensions in the name of the educational side. They want you to learn about and do the course thing, and for lack of a better term, a drive-through rehab. Versus, you're gonna miss 7 games because you got busted with weed. Stanford doesn't test anymore. I mean, they just don't. They have completely changed. It's up to the schools. And the NCAA is out of the marijuana law business. But it's a question asked to Coach Williams today. How do you keep kids away from it? I went all full circle getting back to his audio here about the task at hand. If you're a head football coach or you're a coach in college, hammering home that message. It's still illegal per the NCAA.
If the NCAA says no mayonnaise, you better start using mustard.
Okay. There you go. Mayonnaise and mustard. Thank you. The full comment, though, from Keith Williams on it, and it is something they're combating.
Stan's a prideful person. He knows what's expected of him. There's a certain expectation level he has of himself. And so he's one of those people that he's going to be equally as hard on himself as you are on him when he makes a mistake on or off the field. So
that's Stan bouncing back. Cut 15 here, though, the keeping guys away from marijuana, making sure they know you can't use it. It can't live here.
You know, it's not as hard as you think, because it's a rule. So you don't, the way you grow it, if the NCAA says no mayonnaise, you better start using mustard. I mean, it's a rule. So how you think it is, or what you're used to, doesn't matter, because it's a rule. And so we just expect them to follow the rules.
Cut and dry, simple enough. They're not going to tolerate it because it's a rule. check your personal beliefs at the door. Greater good for the team. And you're saving it. You're going to save a lot of money on Funyuns. You just will. Yeah, I don't know anyone who's tried those cheddar Cheetos. Because it's not just the nuclear ones that anything you touch stays orange. Because they have the white cheddar ones. I know the Cheez-Its are white cheddar. You want to talk triple threat? Funyuns, Cheetos, jalapeno Cheetos, and Cheez-Its. It's over. You're not getting up the next morning to make a defensive back look bad. Just won't do it.
Bring another pizza.
All right. So there's Coach Williams' thoughts on marijuana and being asked about it. And mayonnaise or mustard? No mayo, mustard. Love it. And on the right type of deli meat and sandwich bread, mayo and mustard can coexist. But not if we're talking about alcohol and drugs. Mayo and mustard, no. Running backs, how you feeling about the backs? Jalen Bradley, catching an eye. Cut 23 here with Langsdorf. Old Danny outlined the running backs. And listen, the moral of the story is they have good options no matter who it is. But don't ask him to tell you who's sticking out the most.
It's been a kind of a four-man rotation there, which is heavy, but I've liked the way we've been able to hit some inside runs. I think we've creased a few things. I think that Jalen Bradley's looked really good catching the ball out of the backfield. That's been fun to see. We've gotten some good hard runs from Trey and Devine. I think as a whole, it's a good group, a really, really solid group.
That's great to hear. And I look at all of those backs, and I look at Wilbon, and I look at Ziggy. From now on, anytime I say Ziggy, it's Ozigbo. I just call him Ziggy. And I also look at Bryant's speed, and you got Jalen. I mean, you've got some ball players. Is there one guy to take the mantle? Not yet. Do you have that? Think of the great backs in Husker history. Great offensive lines, first of all. But do you think there exists in that room a guy like Amir, like Amon, that can just get it done against any defense? And I, before you just immediately, your first gut reactions, no. Maybe we're quick to judge on that. Maybe all it takes is a little time to keep growing. Look at Ozigbo. And he's a power back. But he's a sleeker, quicker back now. He's told to slim down. He can catch it, he can run it, he can shake it. It's not the breakaway speed, but he'll get yards after contact. And then how about Wilbon? Junior year, time is now. You can be excited. Maybe they are game changers.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down the first hour, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Big thanks to Danny and Colton for getting us through hour one. Chris Schmidt, hope you're well. Ralph Brown was this hour. You miss any part of the show, can log on HailVarsity.com. The ESPN Lincoln app or iTunes for the podcast. Jim Brandstatter, play-by-play voice of Detroit football. The Lions and the Michigan Wolverines, get his take on the Wolverines, get his thoughts on Nebraska. And someday soon, Michigan-Nebraska will play again. A year. Maybe there's just a kind of a restraining order against each other. In the spirit of 97. Okay, Matt Verzel is coming up in 30 minutes. You can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. So we talked Stanley Morgan. We've hit on Keith Williams. A little bit of Danny Langsdorf. Offensive line talk next hour. But how about Tyjon Lindsey? How about the young pups? And Coach Dub asked about Tyjon and the impression he has made.
slow. He can't catch. We missed a boat on Tyjon. Just kidding. He looks like we thought he would look. And then the other part that you can't predict, that you just could be hopeful for, is that he's smart and he's conscientious and it means something to him. And he goes out with intentions on getting better.
So he said, he gave you just a awful report originally, and then he came to the light about what Lindsey's been. And here's kind of the why with that with Lindsey. And he's come in ready to try and play and be a difference maker.
Well, he was anxious. He knows that he has an opportunity. You know, I told him he'd have an opportunity to show me that he can play as a true freshman. So, you know, with him with me telling him that and him believing that could be possible, you know, he just in general, you'll be anxious. So he was anxious and he was ready to go. He's ready to move on to the next level, the next stage of his life. So, yeah, he was bugging me.
So that is Lindsey taking initiative to his coach. And back to the culture topic we talked about as to some parts and reasons why Nebraska may be back in the top 25 a year from now, preseason-wise. It's going to be part of that decision for older guys to help young guys. Here's Coach Williams.
Just like anything else, you know, you got to learn. It's college. That's why they make you have an SAT score to get in there. So you got to learn. If you can't learn, you won't be out there. But, I mean, you'd be realistic about it. You're not going to give him, you know, chapter 10 before chapter 1. But you just, you know, you install it and you know, he got to learn his position.
I screwed that up. That was awful. That had nothing to do with what I was saying. Forgive me. But that was in reference to how much do you give the guy as a freshman coming in. And they're capable, but don't give them the whole book. Caller 4, caller 5 right now, a 6-month online subscription for you to HaleVarsity.com, the ultimate online fan experience, insight, interviews, and, of course, recruiting analysis plus tremendous content for you, the Nebraska fan. Caller 4, caller 5, a 6-month online subscription to HaleVarsity.com. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 4, caller 5 right now at 466-3776.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2, great to be back with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We will spend more time on that Nebraska offensive line here in about 30 minutes. Welcome in the voice of Michigan football, also with the Detroit Lions broadcast team, host of the Jim Harbaugh Show, Inside Michigan Football. It is Jim Brandstatter at BrandyManCan on Twitter. And Jim's been awesome about coming on the show in Nebraska and Michigan play. That's every 58 years, I think. So it's we're going to talk some Michigan-Nebraska now. And Jim, thanks for spending a few minutes today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Every 58 years, is that how long it's been?
Well, no, I think you got to go back to 14, but there's been a break between now and next year. So, wow, it's been a while.
You know, when Nebraska came into the conference, you know, for being Michigan, we love the idea of playing those great traditional powers. Mm-hmm. And when Nebraska came in, it was wonderful. We thought we'd get a chance to play them, you know, 4 or 5 years at a time and then, you know, have a year or two off. But the way the expansion happened and split into two divisions, it sure has changed up the dynamics in regards to scheduling.
Well, it's been since 12 and it's been since 13 and 14, 12 and 13, I should say. Well, maybe they can just meet ahead of schedule and see each other in Indy. How's that sound?
It's Sounds like a plan. I'm all for it.
Well, Jim, let's spend a few minutes here on Michigan. And preseason poll came out. I think Michigan comes in at number 9. And what's your feel this year on the Wolverines? Is it's another year for Coach Harbaugh. It's year 3. What do you like about this team so far? And what are some question marks? I know they're not very experienced. The quarterback comes back, but how do you feel Michigan can be this year?
Well, I think it's going to be one of the more interesting years Michigan's had in recent memory, because they are, you know, so unpredictable in regards to who they're going to play. Last year, I mean, they got 11 guys that went in the draft. They only got one or two starters returning on the defensive side of the ball. But the thing is that they've done such a good job in recruiting, Jim Harbaugh has, over the last couple of years. They're talented. They got some young, talented players. And for me, that's going to be interesting, because who's going to be that guy? It's that way in every school. There's a changeover every 4 years. You see it at Nebraska, and there's a new guy that steps up the next, you know, year that you don't think about. Well, this year it's going to be that kind of thing, but on steroids at Michigan. You're going to have 2-3 different receivers making plays that J.U. Chesson and Amar Darboh made a year ago. Kid like Kakoa Crawford and Donovan Peoples-Jones and Tariq Black. These guys are all really solid, outstanding receivers, and I think it's going to be fun to see them, because I'm telling you, they're quality players. They just, you know, nobody knows them yet. But I'm telling you, after the first 3 weeks, everybody's going to know who these kids are.
Well, you open with Florida. Jim Brandstatter with us, Hail Varsity Radio, play-by-play voice of Michigan football, former Michigan football standout, also with the Detroit Lions, and host of the Jim Harbaugh Show. With this offense, I mean, I always think Michigan, I think of the offensive and defensive lines, I think of the run game, I think of the play action, and that's how Michigan's won so many games for so many years. Are they getting back to being a tougher team on the line of scrimmage? I think you were tough last year, but I think there could be more of a Harbaugh effect coming in year 3.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that the big question is, are you going to be able to move the ball on the ground when you really need to? In the 3 games Michigan lost, they had the lead with 2 minutes to go, and a first down here or there would have made the difference. And on all 3 occasions, Michigan could not run the ball. And I don't know whether that's a function of the offensive line or whether it's a function of the defense, you know, ganging up, and Michigan just couldn't dent it. But those are the kinds of things that win football games for you. When you need to run it, and you need to knock the clock down, and you need to, you know, close a game out, you got to be able to do it. And last year, in 3 different situations, Michigan wasn't able to do it. They're going to be good. They're going to be, again, fairly new. I mean, Mason Cole and Ben Bredesen, the only 2 guys probably going to come back and play in the offensive line that played a year ago. But their theory on offense is the Jim Harbaugh theory. It is I formation or single back. You'll have a fullback. He will have a tight end. He'll have 2 of them. Sometimes he'll have 3 of them in the game. And they will all get after you, and they will try to run the ball first and use that run action to make the big plays down the field, forcing your defense to stop and think about the run first.
Do you like the setup you have at quarterback? Wilton was a tough kid last year. Really took some shots in that Iowa game. And I mean, still a 10-win quarterback last year. Is he the front runner? Is his job safe?
He's the front runner. Jim Harbaugh has said that Wilton Spade is not, you know, the position is not his just because he played last year. The edge that he has is that he has the experience. Mm-hmm. But John O'Korn and Brandon Peters out of Avon, Indiana, freshman last year, really came on in the spring and played extremely well. And the one thing about Jim Harbaugh, he loves competition. And you are not guaranteed a position. You've got to win it in practice. And he's going to put the quarterbacks out there, and he's going to, as he said during Big Ten meetings, we're going to throw the balls out, let them pick them up, and let them see who comes out at the end of the early fall training camp with the best chance to get this team to win. And that's the guy he'll go with. Right now, I would say you're right. I think Spate has the edge because he's got game experience, and a full 13 games as a starter and 10 wins under his belt.
Tell me about Coach Harbaugh. You get to do the coach's show. I've seen him his entire career, and I remember the Fiesta Bowl against Nebraska where I think Michigan scored 23 points in a quarter to close it out.
Yeah.
I remember watching him in the pros with specifically those indie teams that never just died. And now he's from San Francisco to Michigan, the alma mater, and he just seems like he's in heaven. How does he relate? How does he relate, and how does he connect with kids? Because on camera, his personality seems different than probably in that locker room.
He's a little bit quirky on camera. You know, he's a little different. But the thing is the kids absolutely love him, and the parents of the kids love him. He speaks their language. He gets great recruits to come in here. And you know as well as I know that you don't just recruit a kid. You recruit a parent.
Right.
And that parent must absolutely love Jim to allow their kids to come and play football at Michigan. And the other thing he does is he's very competitive. And that's the way he coaches. I mean, when you come in, you are not given a position, but you are competing. And every day he loves practice. And he says, look, you know, attack each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. And that's a saying that he uses every day to these kids. And he tells them, get better every day. Because if you get better and the other guy doesn't, you're going to have more playing time. And that's how he is. That's how the kids relate. Now, from a media standpoint, he can be a little bit different. Because anything that keeps him off the practice field, anything he's doing that doesn't allow him to think and kind of plan football is kind of something that gets in his way. Mm. And that's how he is. I mean, he is dedicated to coaching football and winning football games at Michigan.
Jim Brandstatter, voice of the Michigan Wolverines, also analyst for the Detroit Lions with us, host of the Jim Harbaugh Show with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Jim, what are your impressions of Nebraska? What are you hearing about Coach Riley from afar? There's some crossover, obviously, between the Harbaughs and the Rileys, so they're not unfamiliar with each other. They're really probably pretty close. What's the word on Nebraska, and what's your view on year three for Coach Riley?
No, I think he's in a great spot right now. I really do. This is the first year he's got Bob Diaco in, right?
Yes.
And he's changing the defensive scheme up. And for him, I think that's really important because I know that, you know, Diaco has a tremendous reputation, coached at Notre Dame. And Nebraska, again, a traditional power with great talent and changing the defense to a 3-4. They may have a little bit of struggle early, I think. I mean, the feeling is because you don't just come in and change defense because it really used to be a 5-2 in the old days.
Sure, yeah.
Those outside linebackers, one's kind of a defensive end, the other one's kind of a linebacker. But personnel-wise, you got to have the right guys to play those four linebacker positions and the right kind of interior lineman to play that three-man front. So it's a little bit different, and they'll have some adjustment period. But they've got talent, Nebraska. And I think that to me, will be, as you ask from an outsider looking in, going to be the real question in how Nebraska goes is, I think, going to be how Diaco gets that defense and that scheme rolling and rocking and rolling and how soon he can get that going so that he enters the Big Ten season with a defense that can shut you down. And I think Nebraska every year has the opportunity to be a power in the Big Ten West, and in my opinion, you know, with Iowa, they're I think the two teams to watch. I think Minnesota with PJ Flex interesting just because of the new coach, and Northwestern. I always like Pat Fitzgerald. I think he does a great job at Northwestern, but for the most part, I mean, I think Nebraska is a team that, as you look forward to this year, I think it's a team that should contend, and it'll be interesting to see how that defense comes together.
Are you surprised at how just good Wisconsin is year after year after year? And I'm not digging for negativity on them. I'm just saying they replace a key cog. It seems like every year in a coordinator, but the Alvarez blueprint and then the old Nebraska blueprint seems to win out. They just keep finding the way. I remember watching that Michigan-Wisconsin game last year, and it was – I'm surprised there wasn't blood on the field. It was so physical.
No, it was a knockdown, dragout. Those are the three teams in the West, Wisconsin, Iowa, and I think Nebraska. Mm-hmm. They're going to battle it out. And you're right. Wisconsin's just got – they've got a system in place. And the coaches know, the players know. You know, their offensive line is always very good. They send two or three to the NFL every year. The running backs know that they're going to get an opportunity. You know, if you're running back and you want to carry it 20 or 30 times a game, Wisconsin might be the place to go. And you know, receivers, again, not a big passing team, but again, a team that can make big plays mm-hmm. through the air. And a defense that, in my opinion, is as good as there was in the Big Ten a year ago. Those linebackers they had were outstanding. And I like what they do. They have a system in place. They recruit to that system, and they seem to get those, you know, three-star recruits and turn out to be five-star players.
They are so good at it. Jim Brandstatter with us, voice of Michigan football, Jim Harbaugh Show, and analyst with the Lions. Jim, I got about 90 seconds, not long enough on Amir, but what are your expectations for Amir in the backfield for the Lions?
Big key, Chris, big key. He and Theo Riddick have to be healthy.
Yes.
They have to stay healthy. They both are capable of making big plays. They're both NFL backs that can light up the place and can flash. But they've got to stay healthy. You've got to play. I mean, you know, you can't play five games out of the 16. You got to be able to play 12 and play at a high level in all those 12. That's the only thing that's kept Amir back. He and Theo Riddick, I think, are the keys to the offense. You know Stafford's good. Their receiving core with some rookies and Golden Tate are going to be fine. Eric Ebron fixes his injury problems, a good solid tight end. They reworked the offensive line. That running game, they take a little pressure off of Stafford in the pass game. With Riddick and Amir Abdullah, that's the key. And Amir is, believe me, for the folks at Nebraska that watched him play, he is quality, solid player. Could be a big-time back in the National Football League. It's just a matter of staying on the field.
Absolutely, and Nebraska fans hoping that's the case. Jim Brandstatter with us, following him on Twitter, and find him at BrandyManCan. Jim, we'll do this again, my man. Thanks for a few minutes. Great to talk some Michigan and Big Ten football.
Glad to do it. Thank you.
Take care. Jim Brandstatter with us, Hail Varsity Radio. And the rundown there on Michigan, the rundown on Harbaugh, the recruiting, the question marks. I mean, Michigan has a lot of the same question marks as Nebraska. You just, hey, Harbaugh's going to get talent, and he's won like he did at Stanford. So benefit of the doubt. And they've won 10 games the last 2 years. But he also lost two out of his last three. They were close. I mean, all three of their losses, you combine the point totals, it's like 1.8. My econ grade. Hey, still didn't have to retake it, Dad. So, but Brandstatter, good stuff from him. And we'll get caught up and talk some Nebraska football, the offensive line. We'll keep an offensive line theme going on as a personality and former Husker on the offensive line, Matt Verzel, coming up in about 5 minutes. I want to tell you about Wilderness Ridge. And maybe you are a classic car fan. Maybe you have something you want to show off. And Wilderness Ridge, man, they do a ton of things. They do music and entertainment on the weekend. Obviously, the golf speaks for itself. WildernessRidgeGolf.com. You hear from Shuey. Shuey's as good as it gets. 434-5106. But Wilderness Ridge has Vinny's 7th annual car show. And that is on Saturday, August 12th from 11 to 2 at Wilderness Ridge. You want to see classic cars? Do you have a classic car? Get on out to Vinny's 7th annual car show at Wilderness Ridge, 11 to 2, Saturday, August 12th. Show off that vet. Verz up next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you at Hail Varsity Radio. Thanks to Jim Brandstatter, former standout for Michigan. And I want to keep the offensive line theme going. He's proud of 308. He's a restaurant owner. He's a coach. He's a personality, and he's a tough dude. Matt Verzel's back with us on the show. Verz, it's been a while, man. How are you?
It has, Smitty. I'm good, buddy. How you been?
I'm good. I know the offense was going to talk today after practice, specifically the offensive line, and I wanted 10 good minutes with you to talk trench warfare, my friend. And
Yeah. That's
where I want to start off with this offensive line. How are you feeling about the group back and kind of their task at hand as camp moves forward and kickoffs less than 30 days away?
You know, you got guys that have been in the program for a while now, so a lot of the youth of enrolling in college should be gone. It's become more like your job now. So, I'm looking for that level of professionalism that it's the steel line from the prior regime. It's okay for it to be the guy behind the thumb when you're an offensive lineman. It's on you. You put games on linemen's back, and they accept that challenge, things are going to go well for you. But it's time now. You know, you've got to get some things to translate to the field. I think it's a great chance for Gerald Foster to step up and really become an elite player at Nebraska. I think Tanner Farmer's going to have an exciting year. I really like, the things he's done. I had a chance to talk to Coach Snyder on the wrestling team about, Tanner and how hard he works and all those things. And I like the move of putting Conrad at center. I think he's a big body. He's been there. He's a smart kid. And I think he's going to fit in there well.
They're battling out at center, and Conrad's got the edge right now. And you played center, Verz. And what's it take? I mean, I can watch it. You lived it.
I watched the guys play center a lot.
Come on now. You got in there. You got your shots in.
You got to have a little fun. Be realistic about it. But, no, it's awesome. It's all you can hope for right now at Nebraska, that every position has a competition battle.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I love about it, because you find your true competitors in that situation. And then there's a lot to be said knowing that, hey, I'm going to strap on my pads. I'm probably going to walk out to practice next to this person, but I've got to go out there and prove to my coaches that I'm better than him. It's nothing against him. It's just every play I'm going to try to be better than him. And then when I can do that, I'm competing. And when you release that competition, hormone in people, that's when greatness happens. That every guy out there every day should feel his job is in jeopardy. And when they do that, it's just a great sensation. It's a great feeling. And I think nothing but good can come out of it. So I love it. I think it's awesome, especially at the center position. People will say it. They'll say it for a long time. That center is the ringleader of a lot of stuff. You've got to get things lined up. You've got to get people into the right spots. You've got to make a call usually that determines what defense you're seeing. And then that relays that out to everybody else, so we're all on the same page. You want 10 eyes seeing 7 players the same way. And 9 times out of 10, your center is that guy that sets that base for you. So it's a valuable position. And when you look when Nebraska's good, go down in the annals of history.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Scott, Nebraska was good. Dave Remington, Nebraska was good. Aaron Graham, Nebraska was good. Aaron Taylor, Nebraska was good. Dominic Raiola, Nebraska was good. So that's a lot, man. That's a lot of pressure to put on a kid. But when you get the right ones and they're in a competitive situation, it's where you want them to be.
You know, when you look at Conrad moving to center from the tackle and the guard spots he came in and did well last year, mm-hmm. I thought. But for him moving to center, what prompted that? Is it skill set? Is it attitude and leadership? Is it kind of combo of both? What do you think?
I think Cav's main goal, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him in a little bit, but I think his main goal, he wants the 5 best players on the field. And I think right now he may be viewing Conrad as that guy. Conrad is a multifaceted kid. It's hard to go out and play tackle and come in and even be in the race at center.
Yes.
Two completely different positions. So props to him for having, I guess, the mindset and the athleticism to be able to accomplish that. And who am I to judge? If Cav thinks that's the best fit, I'm down. I'll roll with that and I'll go with it. I think it's a great move for him. I think at times at tackle, there were some situations where he wasn't put in a place to succeed. Kind of like when they moved Stirrup to guard a couple years back.
Sure.
I had a lot of questions. I was like, man, that's a weird move. But you got him down there in that guard position, and boy, did he look good. So maybe getting down in there to that center position, there's a couple more bodies you could bounce a guy off of. a little more help, a little more protection. And I think he's going to be, if he wins the job, I think he's going to have a real good season.
Matt Verzel, a few minutes with us, Hale Varsity Radio, former Husker standout, ball coach, restaurateur, personality. I mean, we're just talking some trench warfare, and I like it. Verz, let's talk right tackle. You have Neville, you have Farniok, you have Gaylord, and I know Gaylord's at the left side right now working with the twos, but you have bodies there at tackle. And,
yeah.
and Neville's all bus team, man. The guy comes off the bus. He's 6'9". He's put together and had some injuries last year. What type of buildup do you think he can have for his final rodeo here on that right side? Because he's got the measurables, and I think he wants to perform.
He absolutely has the frame to fit the part. I think you could answer that question the easiest if you run over and talk to Mark Phillip and his crew and say, how dedicated was he to the weight room? Now, listen to me. Injuries are going to happen. Ankles get twisted, knees get torn. It's football. When you sign your name on the dotted line, you know you may not come out with the same parts you went in with. That's just the way that game is played. But to get rid of the soft tissue issues, like, you know, the pulled muscles and there were times when I didn't think he looked as strong as he should at that spot, that would be where I would go to that. But he's a talented kid. He definitely, you nailed it. He looks the part. When you see him, like, that's a tackle. There's no doubt about that. He's going to play tackle. So the thing I would love to see out of him the most is right out of the gate against Arkansas State or whomever the first on the schedule is, just start flat-backing people. Just have a nasty disposition and mentality. Transfer that physique over into an arse whipper. I don't know if we can cuss on your radio.
You can do whatever you want, brother.
But
sort of, kind of, anyway.
Yeah. Like, get that. Zach Wiegert was a great guy. But Zach believed in Zach. And if Zach could knock you on the ground, looking at him 100% or not looking at you, he'd knock you on the ground. You got to have that disposition when you play offensive line. You know that. You know a lot of offensive linemen. Smitty, you meet them. We're nice guys. We'll chat and we'll BS and shoot the breeze and have a couple beers and tell you some stories. And I guarantee you, to a man, if you threw a helmet on him and you weren't looking, they'd knock you on your ass. So if he can get back to that mentality, I think they're going to be good.
Last step here, Verz, getting to that mentality of toughness. That's what we talked about with Brant Statter last segment, Michigan guy, and Michigan's O-line and D-line haven't been very tough pre-Harbaugh. They're getting there now. How does Nebraska stay and play angry on the lines of scrimmage, because they've got the talent?
Iron sharpens iron, brother. I mean, you got to have Carlos, Khalil, Freedom, Mick out there every day wanting to whoop up on that offensive line. And you know what? They might go out there and win. And there'll be a point where that offensive line says, enough. I got pride in myself. I have pride in my craft. I have pride in my family, in my team, in my line. I ain't taking this no more. And we might have to get out there and we might have to throw hands. But it's going to happen. And you know, everybody reaches a breaking point. So I hope the defensive line and Coach Perella really try to just tool on them every day. And then I hope the offensive line just says, enough. We're done with this. If you guys want to roll like this every day, you want to be rowdy every day, let's do it. Let's get out here and figure some stuff out. And in that, that is how success happens. When you're two lines, there's a palpable tension between the two of them. You're buddies. You know, I just talked to Christian and Jason the other day. Well, when there's a palpable tension, when you throw that helmet on, that's when things get good. And that's when you know practice is a little lively. There's a little elbow, a little punch in the ribs that gets thrown. Somebody might not appreciate. Okay, if you don't like me doing it, then stop me from doing it to you. So that would be how I would do it. I would make sure those practices are hype. I'd make sure those guys are lively. You know your job's on the line every day. And crank it up and let's go figure it out.
Verz, if you're betting on a horse at running back, who is it?
Oh, man, that's a good one, Smitty. I hate to say it. And I can't believe I'm going to say it. I can kind of. I know myself pretty good. Trey Bryant would be my guy. I really liked in the very limited action I know that we saw out of him last year. But he would make decisive reads and cuts. So it was, you know, Clinton always works a drill when I coach with him. It's 1, 2, 3, foot in the ground and go.
Sure.
So in those three steps I have to read, I'm going to make my read, I'm going to stick by my read, and if it's wrong, I'm going to put my head down and go downfield and get as many as I can. I liked him in that aspect. I think at other times some of those other backs are maybe hesitating a little bit too much to read into it, maybe looking for something that isn't there.
Matt Verzel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Verz51 on Twitter. Find him, follow him. Verz, how's the squad going to look this year? And talk a little high school football, about 60 seconds. You got a thought?
You know, as much as you said Neville will win the race getting off the bus, we never win that one. it's the only place I've ever coached where we have like 27 corners and receivers.
Uh-huh.
And you have like 4 or 10 linemen. I'm like, hey, if any of you guys want to just really beef up over something, that'd be great. It's Term, man. Term's got a program. He's got a system. And, you know, we'll run the veer at you. And just like T.O., we'll hope you make a bad decision and we can make a good decision and run the ball down the field. So it's fun. It's a great set of kids. It's a great atmosphere. Term has done a fantastic job of building a culture there where winning is, if you put in the work and you put in the time, you're going to get your opportunity, and if you follow the script, it usually has some success.
Matt, you're awesome, man. We'll do this again. Thanks for giving me a few minutes, and continued success to you, and thanks for your insight with us, bud.
You bet, brother. Thank you.
Take care. There he is, Matt Verzel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. And Verz does about everything. He's awesome. Good stuff. And I like hearing him get cranked up about being physical on the lines of scrimmage. And good follow on Twitter, at Verz51. For sure. 7 out of 10, that is too many. The portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year. They've been using their seatbelts at a minimum. 69 alive today. Save more lives. Please click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Now we will try and decipher what is and what isn't allowed on the Gronk diet. Tom Brady is administering to Gronk the Brady diet, and TB turned 40 today and he's going to play another 5 years possibly. How about Gronk? Can he stay healthy? Get into that. Some more Nebraska football thoughts. Big thanks to Matt Verzel. Hail Varsity Radio continues.
And now
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Matt Verzel, Hail Varsity Radio. Jim Brandstand of this hour talking Michigan. Ralph Brown last hour. So what's our story? Deb, before we say goodbye? Spa lady? Soon, maybe? I don't know. Colton's like, just shut up. Danny and Colton making it work. God love them. Okay, a couple of things. Non-Nebraska related. One, Texas unveiling their $10,000 lockers. You imagine that? Now, when I think of lockers, I think of junior high and high school and gym class. And my kid's got a locker in his room. We don't punish him. Don't call child protective. That's not what it's for. It's a decoration because he's a little Seahawk puke fan until they start losing. $10,000. What is in a $10,000 locker? Flat screen, check. iPad, check. But what else for 10G? Is it gold plated? Is there oil? Is there a little mini refinery? Kind of like the mini fridge? Whatever. Thing about Herman, though, is the entire world or country of Texas is running spread offense now. And they're running his offense, quite honestly, so it'll work. He is going to make them good, if not great. And by the time the TV rights are up in 2025 for the Longhorn Network that nobody can watch, Texas will be good again. They will time it beautifully. I don't want to believe what I'm saying. It's just going to happen with Herman there. Okay, the Gronk diet. Do we believe it exists? It's really the Brady diet, but let's Gronk eyes it. So Gronk and New England are back in training camp. Sexy Rexy's playing ball there. Vincent's there, so there's the Nebraska angle. But Tom Brady turned 40 today. The reason he is still playing and starting and trying for another championship at 40 is because, well, he didn't have any miles on him out of Michigan. He's had pretty good offensive lines in New England. He's had great defenses, and he has evolved from manager to tremendous talent. And I believe against divisional opponents at home, I saw this on Twitter, Brady is 51-1. That is nuts. And I remember the game he got beat. I'm going to call him my Dolphins because that's the one shining moment they've had recently. Back to Gronk, though. And one of the reasons I don't hate New England is because of Brady's talent. I mentioned the Nebraska tie. But Gronk, because he's just incredible to watch. He's incredible to watch in the red zone. He has a good time. He does cruises for you. I mean, he's just a party. But that's, I wonder if there'll be trouble in paradise, assuming that both stay healthy for 17. It's been an issue for Gronk. But will Brady get upset if Gronk does not adhere to the diet? Because Tom's taking time with him. And this Brady diet, he's got a book out, avocado ice cream. It's about proteins and eliminating toxins. And I don't know if he's taking shots of beet juice or whatever. But it's worked for him. And Gronk has been working with Alex Guerrero. That is Brady's trainer. More flexibility. Better feeling. And Gronk has said as much. I want to feel better. I do feel better. I think he's been on it 6 weeks. And here are the things that I don't believe Gronky Kong can live without. And I'm in his boat. You may be in his boat. Alcohol and caffeine. Can Gronk really live in a world without alcohol and caffeine? And quite honestly, how does Brady live in a world without alcohol and caffeine? I know Giselle's there. I know the hoodie's there. I know there are other things that Brady's into. Brady doesn't seem like a guy dependent. I don't want to say dependent. A guy infatuated with alcohol and caffeine. How about you? Can you go without your cup of coffee in the morning? I can't go out without my cup of coffee at 4 in the afternoon. After you get in mowing the yard, or you're out of the ball game, or you see the ex, it's Miller time, babe. It just is. But Gronk will attempt to adhere to the Brady diet. Brady's cooking for Gronk in their plant-based meals. Not that type of plant. So the agreement is for the 12 weeks with Gronk and Brady is that for every drink of coffee or alcohol Gronk takes, he has to drink 3 glasses of water to filter it out. That's fine. In moderation. That's what life's about. I just don't see, Gronk's the anti-moderation guy when it comes to just getting after it and having a good time. That's why he went to Arizona. He was warm, but he found Lake Havasu. Because who wouldn't want to? But he's bought in right now. He's expanding his game. It'll work. And we'll see if, who's watching Gronk? Is there a Gronk watch? For every drink he consumes that's not on the diet plan, 3 glasses of water to make up for it. That's punishment. I don't know. Remember the Super Bowl? How loaded he was? Was Gronk just destroyed? Yes. We have Deb? Okay. Let's hang on a sec with Deb, if she can do it. And we'll talk to her in a couple of minutes. The reason I asked that is because I don't want to shortchange Deb. We got 60 seconds, and we need more time with Deb, quite honestly. The Gronk diet, though, I just wonder. Like, the urban legend was there was 47 intern or staff members, and I'm fudging the numbers a bit. You know, it was Team Randy. It's Randy going to class. So there's 40 guys making sure Randy Gregory got to class at Nebraska. How many guys are on the lookout so Gronk doesn't, I'm not even talking vodka, so Gronk doesn't sneak a pulp-full little drink of orange juice? That's a commitment. It's pretty good. Okay, we will wind down this second hour of Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. A quick timeout. We'll run down Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spa's 20th and Highway 2, is going to be with us here shortly. Deb will have some great sales thoughts for you. And time to get that spa now. A quick timeout. There we go. We'll wind it down here. It is Deb the Spa Lady time, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, spasonline.com, an Omaha location. Deb, how are you?
I'm good, and I think we're going to need to be getting the temperature rising a little bit tonight in the hot tub. It's
you know what?
Be cool.
50 degrees, that means you and Mama Ooh. Need to jump out in the hot tub, and you can turn it back up and relax. And I'm sure it'll be a beautiful starry night, don't you think?
That's right. That's a good way to have the evening begin and end. You're so relaxed. Just lay back, look at the stars. Maybe you could, you know, I didn't even think about this, but the eclipse coming up.
Yes.
It'll be dark for a couple minutes, maybe a minute and mm-hmm. something. You go out and get in your hot tub on the eclipse.
Well, I think that's mandatory, and Deb's issuing that that statement. Deb, the spa lady, Home Innovation Spa's 20th and Highway 2. Deb, tell me about some options folks have between now and when school gets rolling. No time like the present to get that hot tub for the family to start a school year.
And you know, another thing, the state fair is coming. We already
yes.
know what deals we're going to be doing at the fair. So let's say you're going to come out to the fair. Well, why not come in, take advantage of those deals beforehand, get your spa delivered, so when you get home from the fair and your feet hurt, your back mm-hmm. aches, you can hop in it and relax. It's the best of both worlds. You get the fair deals, you go to the fair, and then you relax.
That is the way to do it. Deb, tell me about the selection you have here down at Home Innovation Spa's 20th and Highway 2.
We have everything. We have everything small up to the big swim spas. We're delivering every day, so it's not like we can't get one in your backyard in no time. So we've got financing, we've got the electrician, we've got it all. So we can find the perfect spa for your needs. Just come in and let us show you what we have.
Deb the Spa Lady. Deb, we will talk next week, and thanks so much for a few minutes today.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
There she
Bye-bye.
Is, Deb the Spa Lady, 20th and Highway 2. 25 years of making folks feel relaxed. That's important. And I tell you what, every post-practice, the old football team, they have the ice tub. They jump in the ice. Well, you don't have to play football to get that. Go to Deb, and when it's 90,000% humidity, you just jump in the Home Innovation Spa. Get it all chilled out, and you're relaxing. The cool thing is some of us may watch a beer and a football game in a spa you can get from her. Okay, I'm getting the evil eye from Danny and Colton. I have tickets for you here. Caller 4, a pair of Ribfest tickets, 466-3776. And caller 5, a 4-pack VIP Salt Dog tickets. What night? Help me. whatever. Missed that sign from third. A four-pack of Salt Dog tickets for you. Caller five, a pair of Rib Best tickets for you if you're caller four. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Big thanks to Matt Verzel, Jim Brandstetter, Ralph Brown. Tomorrow at 4, we'll talk to you then.